broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, this is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live, nationally syndicated, global reach on the internet radio talk show. This is hour two of two. It is the broadcast for November the 4th in the year of our Lord, 2021. Hour two of two, and our goal always to promote God, family, and country on your radio, to protect life, liberty, and property on your radio. 6 days a week, we tell the tale. On the Sabbath, we rest. Welcome to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. This hour, we've got an incredible guest and then hard-hitting news the rest of the way. Our guest, his name is Eric Finman, and he's the founder of the Freedom Phone, clear.co.com, to learn more about that. But Eric Finman, meet Eric Finman, the 18-year-old Bitcoin millionaire. He got into Bitcoin when he was 12. Took him 6 years to become a millionaire. Now he's a multimillionaire. He's a little bit older than that. He's a philanthropist. Wow. He's a philanthropist and an entrepreneur and a whole lot more. Here's Eric. All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live, the parade of incredible speakers, developers, vendors, Americans at the Freedom Conference is incredible. We're calling it Liberty 21 Conference at the Salt Palace in Salt Lake City, Utah. WeCanAct.net is the website. And if you go there, you can still sign up. Use the keyword Liberty to get a discount. And you can listen to all the archived speeches. It's incredible, ladies and gentlemen. Now we've got a guy by the name of Eric Finman with me. And he is the founder of the Freedom Phone, the incredible phone on clear.co.com. clear.co.com is the website. And these phones are very unique, ladies and gentlemen. We'll talk about it in detail. What gave you, first off, let's learn about you, if you don't mind, Eric. Tell us who you are.
Yeah, hey, so glad to be on and a pleasure meeting you. So, my background is kind of in Bitcoin and the crypto space. And I guess I wanted to create a brand and work with Clear on making a phone that is decentralized.
Hold on, before we get to the phone, though, yeah. Now they mentioned Bitcoin. So you're the youngest like millionaire.
Yeah, youngest Bitcoin millionaire. That's the claim to fame.
Wow. Now you've heard that song, "Want to Be a Millionaire," or whatever it is, right?
Yep.
Bitcoin made it reality for you, huh?
Yeah, no. At 18, I became the youngest Bitcoin millionaire. Now I'm an old man. I'm 22, though.
Whoa, you gonna be all right?
All right. I turned 23 in 3 days.
Whoa, congratulations.
No, thank you.
All right, so let me ask you this question then. Did you do it by Bitcoin mining? Did you do it by getting into the right time, all the above? How did it happen?
I got in when I was 12 years old. Some kids had video games. Some kid had sports. I had Bitcoin, and I was just mowing lawns, and my grandmother had actually put $1,000 into my scholarship fund. And I tried to give it back, but she was insistent. And I did not put that into scholarship fund. I put that into Bitcoin when it was $10. And then every day after that, I just spent more and more trying to get more and more Bitcoin, mowing lawns, trying to make good trades and everything. And then, 18 became the youngest Bitcoin millionaire.
Wow. So at this point, do you diversify or what do you do?
Yeah, I have other cryptocurrencies. I have some stocks as well, but and I also invest in companies.
Now, I've been telling people not really to don't dip your toe in the crypto.
Yeah.
The reason I've kind of been saying that is because even though it's a digital currency, even though you can do very well, it has the boom and bust. What did it do? Drop below 30 grand last summer, and now it's what, 66 or whatever else.
Yeah.
It's very volatile too, right?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of think of it as a digital gold, right? So, it can kind of go up and down and in large swaths, and with Bitcoin, especially large swaths of ranges there. But I kind of tend to think Bitcoin is much more practical than like gold. If you're trying to think of an alternative system, I like gold. I have gold. I have silver as well. But I mean, I just don't trust the fiat system. I don't trust the U.S. dollar. And you look what's happened recently, the amount of hyperinflation that has gone on. One out of every $3 that has ever existed was just printed in the last year. I mean, it's terrible. And you see all these prices going up because of it. So I like Bitcoin because it's a nice backup.
Is the Bitcoin limit real, or are they going to raise the debt ceiling?
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's the beauty of Bitcoin is it's completely open source and nobody is in control of it. That's the beauty of the underlying technology, the real innovation, blockchain.
And did you understand it when you were 12 or did you just know it was something cool and you wanted to try? Tell me your understanding at that age.
A little bit of both. I mean, okay. I think 50-50 on that. I think it was like, wow, this could really change the world and be an incredible technology one day. But it was kind of like in the way you hope for world peace. You're not sure. It's kind of how I felt about Bitcoin at the time. It's like, wow, this is really exciting, really cool. But who knows? It'll go anywhere. I hope it does. But that was kind of the thinking. I guess I was kind of obsessed with it at the time.
So let me ask you this. Now you say you've invested in other digital currencies. Are we going to go beyond Bitcoin?
Yeah, I mean, I put a little bit and actually a lot of bit into Ethereum. I also like Monero. Monero is like the most off the grid, privacy focused cryptocurrency that has been invented. So I really like Monero. So, you know, Zcash is also kind of in that category. There's a bunch of them. I like them.
I wish we could create the SAMO, and I just, my name is Sam, by the way, create SAMO, and then I just get a little piece of everybody's pie.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
What do you think of that idea?
We should get to it. You got to come by to the booth.
One of the things we really need to do is we need to find a way, though, to really support the new media taking center stage and the smaller radio programs that are truth tellers and everything else. We need to find ways to really support, fund, and make that grow. Mm-hmm. Guys like me say, well, Sam, why don't you just market it? Yeah, with what time?
Yeah.
Right? I run a bunch of radio networks. I've got eight kids. I run a
IT
company in the day. And so I'm so swamped. I do 2 hours a day, 6 days a week on my own show. We produce other people's shows and podcasts, and we're just flat out busy as could be. But, man, we really need a way to kind of, I don't know what you want to say, crowdfund partnering with digital currencies, partnering. Ben Swan is famous for trying to work on a lot of this.
Yeah.
But I feel like he's kind of stuck, right?
Yeah, I mean, I
and that's not downing Ben. He's a dear friend. I'm just saying that it's very tough to merge all that together in a meaningful, productive, scalable way, right?
It is tough, but I think that's why, you know, you have smart people working on it, and something we have to do, you know. And
gotta get 12-year-old people that become 18-year-old millionaires working on it. Is that what you mean?
Oh, exactly. obviously. But no, I mean, I think we have to create alternative funding systems and technology systems and everything to go up against this establishment, because they just try to cut you off especially with the money.
No question. They attack your money first. They attack your character second. They isolate and destroy. But I bring that up only because I think that at some point we're going to have angel investor philanthropists that kind of say, listen, I'm investing in the goodness of the world. I'm investing in the new media taking center stage. I'm investing in the he who owns the media makes the rules discussion in a way to fight back and say, look, we're gaining critical mass, whether it be vote fraud, whether it be Bitcoin, whether it be teaching people about clear phones, which we'll get into in seconds. You know, we've really got to get the word out and be able to literally move the needle on our own, right?
Oh, 100%. 100%. And yeah, that's what we're trying to do, speaking of the clear phones.
All right. Tell me about your booth first. Are you at Clear Phone?
Yeah. We're at the Clear Phone booth. You see, there's a big Freedom Phone. We got big signage and all of that. We got Freedom Phone. We got the Clear booth and everything. So
now you're the founder of the Freedom Phone, too, right?
That is correct. Yeah.
Clear Phone has a bunch of phones, ladies and gentlemen, all based on this idea, primarily of privacy, primarily of, you know what, protecting your health through the... I want to say this, let technology serve you, not own you, okay? That idea, and then say, hey, we spun that into the Freedom Phone, giving a liberty twist to this whole privacy / take care of your health idea, right?
Exactly. I mean, you can have the bet. If you saw what happened with Parler, you know, they got banned off all the app stores.
Yes.
And seen that's what happened with other apps as well. And it doesn't matter. You could have the best software in the world. If you don't have your own hardware, you don't have true free speech, because they say, well, you know, you get, if you don't like getting banned off Twitter, create your own Twitter. And then we as a movement did, and they're like, well, create your own phone now. And that was our goal.
And it got done.
It got done.
And you're the founder of Freedom Phone. Tell me about that then. How did your knowledge move from Bitcoin as a 12-year-old to a millionaire at 18-year-old into saying, hey, I'm gonna double down on this project to make a success?
Yeah, I mean, I've always liked, I guess, getting involved with and starting technologies that I feel like challenge, you know, the kind of establishment. When I was 15, I had dropped out of high school. I had started at about a little bit of Bitcoin money then. I dropped out of high school, moved to Silicon Valley, and started an ed tech company and all that. That went really well. We eventually sold that. And then I invested in a bunch of crypto products from there. So, I mean, it's just like I like technologies that challenge big tech and challenge the Silicon Valley establishment, which is not what it used to be. And that's why it's great to be working with Clear on the Freedom Phone and working with Michael, who's the founder of Clear on that end. And, I mean, that's why I want to get into it. And I feel like I've had a good business experience of starting good businesses in the past.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, you got entrepreneurs, you got scrappy, they call us the crazies, but you got scrappy crazies literally taking on big tech like never before, and it's something to behold as we develop products and develop institutions of our own. So tell me, you built the Freedom Phone. Who did you work with on it? How did you collaborate? How did it come to be? And then tell me what it is today.
Yeah, absolutely. So we worked with Clear on the Freedom Phone to kind of partner with on the technology side of things. They have some really advanced cybersecurity software that I found to be really desirable. And,
and that's really along the lines of crypto in a sense as
exactly.
well. So you really haven't left your base, have you?
No. That's my comfort zone. And they have a great, fantastic crypto wallet that we preload on the Freedom Phone as well. I think it's just the best of both worlds. I have a very, I'm
right,
a big MAGA guy. Trump
the best
was my
of
very
both
first,
worlds. We're talking about the Freedom Phone. Very interesting stuff, I'll tell you that right now. The Freedom Phone, many people say the Freedom Phone has a lot of problems. And you know what? I don't know. All I can tell you is it's a startup. They're doing their very best. They're trying to break the mold of big tech. They're trying to create their own ecosphere, if you will. And, hey, you gotta give some credit for trying, huh? It's a very tough nut to crack. I'll tell you that right now. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live, continuing in seconds on your favorite talk station.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Live, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman on your radio. Incredible interview continuing, ladies and gentlemen, with Eric Finman. He was 12 years old when he got into Bitcoin. When he was 18, he became the first, or the youngest, I should say, Bitcoin millionaire at 18 years old. Now he's 23 doing the interview. But he's also the creator of the Freedom Phone, partnering with Clear. The interview continues now. Base, have you?
No, that's my comfort zone. And they have a great, fantastic crypto wallet that we preload on the Freedom Phone as well. I think it's just the best of both worlds. I have a very, I'm a big MAGA guy. Trump was my very first, I turned 18 before the 2016 elections. He was my very first vote. and all that. So I'm a big MAGA guy, and I'm a big crypto guy, so it's kind of this phone has combined the best of both worlds. And working with Michael, he's the founder of Clear, you know, has been a joy in that way.
Now, the Freedom Phone, one of the interesting things is it's not a stagnant product, meaning that it's getting more software and more connected and more, I don't know what you want to call it, collaborative for the freedom movement all the time, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the beauty of software updates. We're constantly adding even more and more apps. You know, it's ironic. Apple's motto used to be think different. Now they ban anybody who thinks different. And that's the beauty of our phone, is we enable developers to be able to build on top and add more interesting things to the phone, and don't censor you. Because there's even a lot of crypto apps that are not necessarily political, but they're not even allowed on the app stores in the first place.
So they say think different. You guys need to say clearly different.
Yes. Think different clearly.
Or you could just say clearly different.
Clearly different. Oh, I like that. I like that. Yeah. Oh, I like that, actually. That's a good name.
Yeah, they say think different. You just take off on that word. Do
I have to pay you 5 cents every time we use it
or something? No, sir. All you got to do is fund the cause of liberty everywhere you go.
We're working on it.
That's good enough for me.
We're working on it.
All right, so tell me about the Freedom Phone then. It's built on an Android base, right?
Yeah, so Android is open source, actually. So yes. We took Android, we Hillary Clinton acid washed all the Google stuff out, and created our own app store, partnered with Clear on the cybersecurity of everything. So we've got, yeah.
And let me be very clear. So it's source code that they have now, though. It looks nothing like, and is nothing like, an old Android reality, even though that was the code base, right?
I mean, we looked at Linux and we looked at Android, and then, yeah, they're both open source operating systems and all of that. It's really the Google Play services, which is that's kind of all of the Google libraries that get in the phone. That's the main thing, and we made sure to get rid of entirely all of that. So that way you can have all your Android apps run on this phone, but, you know, so you're not losing out on apps, but then you get the security and kind of the free speech app store that you want as well.
All right, so we put that hardware, Clear, with the Android now, Clear OS, if you will,
yep.
And then we basically start building apps on top of it. What are the keystone apps that really make it sing?
Yeah, I mean, we preload it with, you know, so many, like Signal is the default chat. That's one of the most secure encrypted chat apps in the world, so that's
yes.
Kind of our equivalent of iMessage. We preload it with Clear Web, which is based off of Brave browser, which is one of the most secure browsers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, one of the most secure browsers.
And so when you say a derivative of the Brave browser, really you're talking about the one that's a mobile version, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we did that, and that's
that was Brave.
Yeah, exactly. But and then we just have many, many features like that, and it's completely de-Googled and everything, and we made sure that email and everything, it's very secure. Then comes preload, the Freedom Phone comes preload with Parler, Newsmax, OANN, Rumble, Telegram. So we don't preload YouTube on this, we preload Rumble, baby.
Yeah,
And then, because we want to support projects. And it's also not just about what you allow in the app stores, it's about what you feature. As well. So like our app store, we totally focus all these free speech focus apps and try to promote other companies and startups as well and help them out.
Let me give you kind of a redneck take on this as I see it, and then I want you to kind of take from there, okay?
Yep.
So you got Apple and they got their whole ecosystem. You got Amazon and their whole ecosystem. You got Microsoft and their whole ecosystem. You got Google and their whole ecosystem. And it's a battle of the ecosystems.
Yep.
And what you're really developing it Clear here is an ecosystem.
Entirely.
Because when you got a store,
ecosystem.
Pretty soon you'll have products. Pretty soon and what you're going to have is the Freedom ecosystem, huh?
Exactly. I mean, we want to create completely challenge Apple and Google at every single service that they have and challenge them and make something better and much more secure and decentralized.
And much more clearly different.
Clearly different.
All right. So tell me about the phones then. Is there different versions and sizes and stuff of the Freedom Phone?
So you can get... So the Freedom Phone model, that's kind of just one model
yes.
And all of that. So it's individual. So if you want something entirely de-Googled, the kind of more clear... There's a Clear Phone 220, there's a Clear Phone 420, and the Clear Phone 620. That gives you the option if you do want to use it or turn it off and all that. So there's different models with different levels of specs. And yeah, just go on the website and check out which one works best for you. If you want like a better camera, or if you want a bigger screen, or if you're looking something more affordable.
Clear.co.com
exactly.
Is where you go. Now, do you use the Freedom Phone?
Yes, I do. I do every day.
Or do you use the Crypto Phone?
I use the Freedom Phone. I'm a Freedom Phone.
You don't have a Crypto Phone
yet? We preload the same crypto wallet on every phone. So, you know, we've got all the crypto stuff on there. But yeah, I use the Freedom Phone. That's my favorite.
All right. And what's the future of the Freedom Phone then?
I mean,
we're just going to keep having releases, right?
Yeah, we're going to do Freedom Phone 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then we got to, you know, we're going to get into tablets and laptops as well. You know, something that, I think we're really worried about is these schools.
Will they run a tablet version of ClearOS? Is that what will happen?
Yeah, I think that's the goal, right? Like, you look at these schools, they're all using Google Chromebooks. So
yeah,
Google's getting all this
communism right on the front.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
No, I mean, it's...
But it feels like that, though.
It feels like that. I mean, Google Chromebooks are getting data on all these children. I mean, it's terrible. And then right in your school, and you can't get away from it. So we kind of want to get a little bit into that business and you know, just have give devices to children that in schools, you know, that don't track you. I mean, that's really all it is.
All right. You know about the Roku players and all this, right?
Yeah.
Are we going to have a Clear TV offering?
Ask Michael. If Michael wants to do Clear TV, we might do that.
It would have to be
high definition because it's clear, right?
It had to be clear photo for sure.
Yeah, very clear photo.
I think that something that we're eventually going to have, and I'll tell you why. Too many of the minds in America now are just controlled by the screen like that, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's true.
So I don't know if you know what the Tuttle Twins are.
No, we're the Tuttle Twins.
All right. There's a guy by the name of Connor Boyack. He's a freedom-loving libertarian guy.
Yeah.
He wrote a series of books called The Tuttle Twins.
Okay.
And it's to teach little children about the cause and the case for liberty and to reject communism and socialism.
That's beautiful.
Anyway, the Tuttle Twins then got turned into a TV series now.
Oh.
And so they created a crowdfunding capability, a pay-it-forward funding through what's called Angel Studios.
Oh, wow.
And Angel Studios now does the Tuttle Twins... I don't know what you call it, TV show, series, whatever you call it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I say TV show because it's not exactly TV if it's on the web, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like radio on the internet. What's that? But anyway.
Podcast.
There you go. But then what's a podcast without a pod?
Exactly. You're right. Yeah, you're right. That originally came from the iPod. Yeah.
Come on. Anyway, I'm joking, but I'm highlighting that technology changes so fast, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, but the point that I'm getting at is these Angel Studios now pay it forward. So if you watch the Tuttle Twins and like it, and then you can donate an amount that you want, and they use that money for the next crowdfunding of the next video productions. It's incredible.
That's amazing.
The people that created it are called the Harmon Brothers. So you got Neil Harmon.
Oh, I feel like I've heard of the Harmon Brothers.
Well, you know Neil Harmon, and I'll tell you why. Ready?
Why?
Vid Angel.
Ah.
He's the CEO of Vid Angel.
Okay.
He's fought the big million-dollar, L.A., warped battles and stuff, and eventually he's come out on top. It's been a long Christian fight, as you know. But nevertheless, his brother... is the guy that is the Tuttle Twins creator.
Amazing.
That's why it's called Angel.
Yeah, we gotta do Clear TV then. We gotta do it.
So we gotta do Clear TV. I'm also thinking of a whole lot of other things. I know you guys are working on a project for the blind. Do you know much about that?
Michael's a better person, but yeah, we want to make sure that these phones are totally usable completely accessible.
I want a phone that's tiny.
Tiny?
Yeah, man, I want a phone that's really, really, really little. Because I don't need a screen.
Yeah, you're right.
I want
it to
have batteries that'll last for a long time.
That'd be cool, because, I mean, if you don't have the screen, a phone can last for a very long time. That's the biggest battery drain of it. No, that's a good idea, actually.
Anyway, I could consult on that project. I run an IT company.
We'll give you 5 cents for that every phone.
Hey, I don't care what I get. I'm more interested in the cause and the agenda and the focus
exactly.
of providing liberty for everyone.
Exactly.
And security for everyone.
It's admirable, sir.
And I am interested in this, and so anything I can do to help, I'm game.
We will.
What are your projects then? You said that you invest in companies. I want to learn a little bit about you. What do you invest in?
One of the companies.
All right, hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. I said, what are your projects? We're going to hear what some of his projects are. What he's focusing on the most. You know, he was a Bitcoin millionaire at 18 years old, the youngest to get that done. A pretty interesting story at the time. It was 5 years ago now or so. But he really is now involved in all kinds of philanthropy projects, the Freedom Phone being one of them, looking into other currencies and investing in that are some of the other cool things that he's doing. But I'm telling you, these guys that we're interviewing are just amazing, amazing people. We're talking to Eric Finman, founder of the Freedom Phone, clear.co.com. And meet Eric Finman. He's an 18-year-old. Bitcoin millionaire, and that's an interesting twist right there. I'll tell you that right now. But when we get back, we'll finish this interview. He's a very fascinating gentleman to talk to. I'll tell you that right now. Good people doing good stuff everywhere. You don't hear about that in the mainstream press. Everybody's a terrorist except for the bureaucrats who are stealing you blind, enforcing all kinds of tyrannical agendas on you. Other than that, everybody else is a bad guy, but the politicians are the only good guys. That's the way the mainstream press rolls, right? The elites, the celebrities, and the politicians, the only good people around. Everybody else is bad. It's a lie. Don't fall for it. Good people are doing great things everywhere, and we're here to tell you about it on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Iran has said it will resume nuclear talks on November 29th in Austria's capital, Vienna. Six rounds of talks with China, Russia, Germany, France, and the United Kingdom in Vienna, with the United States participating indirectly. The World Health Organization on Wednesday approved Indian drug maker Bharat Biotech's Covaxin COVID-19 vaccine for emergency use. The approval should help with global coronavirus vaccine supplies, particularly those in low-income countries. Philadelphia's public health department said certain providers will begin administering COVID-19 vaccine to ages 5 through 11 immediately. The CDC recommended the two-dose Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine for the least affected age group late Tuesday. Democrat incumbent Philip Murphy was re-elected governor of New Jersey by a slim margin, overcoming an early deficit by GOP challenger Jack Cittarelli. This is USA Radio News.
There's a lot of confusion about how to protect yourself from COVID, with guidelines and regulations changing by the week. One thing is certain. You need an accurate thermometer for your family to check for fever, the leading sign of flu and COVID. Only the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer has been proven accurate in more than 100 clinical studies. Don't rely on non-contact thermometers. They have no scientific studies behind them and can miss the fever that might mean COVID. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Exergen is changing the way the world takes temperature.
From city streets to back roads, from road warrior to carpooler, there are some things you can always count on, like the reliability, durability, and power of DieHard, America's most trusted auto battery. No matter where your journey takes you, count on DieHard to get you started on the road ahead. Available at your local Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest stores.
With cyber attacks on public and private sectors within the United States, actions are taking place to curb the criminal activity.
The Wall Street Journal is reporting that the Biden administration will order nearly all federal agencies to fix cybersecurity flaws that are considered major risks. The director of the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, Jen Easterly, testified Wednesday on Capitol Hill and called this initiative, along with the new Joint Cyber Defense Collaborate, very crucial.
I really think this is a different and unique capability for the nation. It's the place that by statute brings together the full power of the federal government with the innovation, imagination, and ingenuity of the private sector.
The new directive is also one of the biggest ever imposed by the federal government. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
After Facebook changed their name to Meta last week, they just found out another company is already named Meta, a company that sells PCs. USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Interview with Eric Finman continues now. Really little, because I don't need a screen.
Yeah, you're
and
right.
I want it to
fair.
Have batteries that last for a long time.
That'd be cool, because, I mean, if you don't have the screen, a phone can last for a very long time. That's biggest battery drain of it. No, that's a good idea, actually.
Anyway, I could consult on that project. I run an IT company.
We'll give you 5 cents for that every phone.
I don't care what I get. I'm more interested in the cause and the agenda and the focus of providing liberty for everyone.
Exactly.
And security for everyone.
It's admirable, sir.
And I am interested in this, and so anything I can do to help, I'm game.
We will.
What are your projects then? You said that you invest in companies. I want to learn a little bit about you. What do you invest in?
One of the companies that I invest in was called MetalPay. So that's a crypto wallet that's meant to be very easy for normal people.
So it's kind of like a Venmo, but.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah, have you looked this up before?
Well, it's a little bit like a what do you want to call it? Cryptocurrency Venmo.
Yeah, yeah. How do you know? Are you someone feeding you answers? Or,
no,
you
know? I'm just kind of a tech guy. And
you know your stuff. You know your stuff, sir.
I've been around the tech world a little bit, and I love the stuff, and I live and breathe and eat. I was going to get a degree in psychology, okay?
Yeah, metal paywall.
I was at the computer lab helping girls because, hey, that was kind of fun. And then this guy walks up to me and says, hey, man, do you want to get paid to do this? And I'm like, absolutely. And then later he is a Navy guy, and he had to go out on the Navy ship and work on the Navy IT. Mm-hmm. So he said, can you take over my clients while I'm gone? And I'm like, well, I don't know why. And he goes, you can get paid quadruple.
Mm, wow.
I'm like, okay, I want to do that. Well, I never got the psychology degree, but I did get a wife.
Wow.
And I've got 8 kids, and I did go into IT.
8 kids, sir. 8 kids. I don't know if I could do 8 kids. I think I want to have 5 kids. I think that'll be where I'll max out.
Well, you don't have a wife yet, right?
Well, I have a girlfriend. Oh, she'll probably be my wife. So she says.
So she, wait a minute now.
No, I love her deeply. She's
all right.
Amazing.
Well, our prayers are with you, and marriage is a great institution. I've been married for 30 years and highly recommend it. It's better than all crypto.
Oh, I agree with that. I love my girlfriend more than anything. So
what you do is you get a crypto relationship that never ends.
Exactly.
A secure relationship that never ends.
Exactly.
All right.
Yeah.
What else do you want to tell the world, sir? You're here representing Clearphone. That's wonderful. And we support the technology and the efforts you guys are all making.
Oh, thank you,
but what do you want to say to the world?
Yeah, I mean, the where I'd like to wrap up, invest in different technologies and alternative platforms. If we're relying on the left for their technology, we will never succeed as a movement and all of that. And that's what we have to do. We have to create a whole parallel system. And that's what we're trying to do on the technology front. I find it actually, you know, people might criticize me for this, but I find that conservatives don't boycott, but they do put their money into different things. Like, they'll find an alternative. Like, people don't boycott Coca-Cola, although I do, and I wish more would.
I boycott all kinds of people with the American Family Association.
Oh, beautiful. I'm pro boycotts, baby. But I think we just have to create alternative systems and invest in alternative systems, and it's so important. We can't be using Netflix. We can't be using any of these things. And as much as I like Netflix sometimes, but it's just they have terrible television for people, and you know, even payment processors like Visa and MasterCard, they just ban you. They can ban someone outright. I mean, it's terrible. So invest in alternative projects, because we can never succeed as a movement if we don't have our own ecosystem.
He might be a geek, but he's a lovable one, ladies and gentlemen.
Eric, thank you, sir.
Finman, 12 years old, playing with crypto, 18, becomes the youngest Bitcoin millionaire. Now he's in all kinds of philanthropy, funding all kinds of projects, all to do with the sacred cause of liberty. We're praying he gets a fiance instead of a girlfriend, and then a wife, and we wish you well, my
friend. Sooner than you think. Thank you, sir.
All right, there he goes, Eric Finman. Clear phone, ladies and gentlemen. It's clear.co.com. Check it out, the Freedom Phone, on Liberty Roundtable Live. All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That's the last of the interviews. Believe it or not, a wrap-up of the incredible WeCanAct.net conference that took place a couple of weeks ago here now. What was the 22nd and 23rd of October? And now it's the 3rd, so what's that, 10 days ago, et cetera? What a conference. What an incredible group of people that were there, from guests to vendors to hosts to just everybody there. It was just an amazing, amazing event. Eric Finman wraps up those interviews. Great job. Fantastic. All right. On with the news the networks refuse to use, because we got a bunch of it before the end of the hour. Let's go. So Google has now officially and 100% completely demonetized WND.com. Wow. That's a sad tale to tell, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know how to think about this. WND has been battling Google for quite some time. And Google took down their videos. Google has manipulated the results so people can't get to their pages. Google has done a lot of things, but now they've kind of upped the ante, if you will, and they've literally demonetized completely WND. They say, WorldNet Daily leaders are saying, hey, it's chopped their revenue in half. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know where we're going to go from here. We've allowed the big tech folks to get above the people so much so to where I don't know if all these people and groups can recover. WND, for example, you know, how do they recover from a 50% hit to their revenue? I'm not going to say they won't succeed, because they're very scrappy. Joseph Farah and crew, They're scrappy. They do a good job. But, man, that isn't going to be pleasant. That's going to be brutal for WND. Our prayers are with WorldNet Daily. I think they're one of the best news services on the planet. And I know I've heard of internal people that have had problems with, you know, WND or problems with this group or that group. You know, you hear that no matter what group you're talking about, right? Nobody's perfect. If I don't respond to somebody perfect, then they say, oh, Sam's a plant for the deep state, or Sam's this, or Sam won't talk about that, or, you know, it's very easy to attack us all. But all I'm telling you is I believe that WorldNet Daily is a wonderful organization. I've known Joseph Fair personally, worked with him on a few things. He sent his reporters to some of our events, and I know them as well. We've covered some stories, and they've actually taken information from us because we've been first to the story, and then they come to us to get more information on a story. They've been very kind and fair about that too. So I'm just telling you, it's a sad tale when Google literally, officially, and completely demonetized WND.com. That's a big deal, folks. It's a sad big deal. I'll tell you that right now. But you know what? Here's what WorldNet Daily does, and this is why they've been demonetized. The mainstream press just can't stand the truth. And Google's part of the deep state, big tech mainstream press, that's for sure. Sadly funded by your tax dollars to now defund WND. But here's a whistleblower magazine. Here's what happens. They have several articles, and each issue is designated to specific topics. So it's like a theme in the issue kind of a thing, right? Well, here's the theme in the issue for this time's whistleblower. It's called The Great American Rebellion. Tyrannical COVID mandates meet with massive defiance. WND.com. That's why they're being demonetized, in my opinion, because they release such blockbuster whistle reports such as this. Think about that headline, The Great American Rebellion. Tyrannical COVID mandates meet with massive defiance. So you write that kind of stuff, and hey, the world hates you. The politicians, the bureaucrats, the celebrities, the liberals, the deep state, the shadow government, the mainstream press, the whole world will be against you. You write that kind of stuff. And that's why I commend Joseph Farah and others who are literally doing their very best on this thing to really tell the story. And that's why I like WorldNet Daily, is because, you know what, they have some very good blockbuster reporting that is pretty dang good, man. And others just don't take on this kind of stuff to that degree. There's a lot of news outlets like The Blaze and others who do a pretty good job. But in my opinion, they don't do the in-depth reporting like David Kapilian and others do, right? Anyway, they call it pioneering Christian news site. That's the other thing that I think is really important, ladies and gentlemen, that you really need to be aware of, is that David Kapilian and Joseph Farah over at WorldNet Daily, they, in my opinion, point out that they're Christian, right? Focus on Christian news. And that's a lot of what the others don't do. You know, Glenn Beck is a Mormon and he started The Blaze, but he doesn't pitch his news service as a Christian news service. Right? That's really important to kind of understand, folks, that, you know, WND clearly calls itself a Christian news service. That's something that really matters to me. I don't know if it does to you, but it absolutely matters to me. Pioneering Christian news site. That's an important statement to make. Quick pause. I am Sam Bushman. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live Talk Show.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
How many times do I have to tell you?
I swear, it just goes in one ear and out the other.
Don't you understand English?
Your children are probably too polite to tell you.
Hello, those things on the side of your head aren't turnips.
But they get just as frustrated when you won't listen to them as you do when they won't listen to you.
Do I need to speak slower?
In fact, few things show children how much they're valued and respected more than a parent's willingness to listen.
Tell me what you did at work today.
Studies show when parents listen, children develop better listening skills themselves. They also tend to have more self-confidence and are more likely to avoid alcohol and drugs.
Now sit down here and tell me all about it.
When you really listen, love is what they'll hear.
Thank you for sharing that with me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, if you haven't heard, ladies and gentlemen, Google has now officially and completely demonetized pioneering Christian news site WND.com. David Kapilian with the details on that. Our prayers are with WND that they can weather this storm. Their latest whistleblower magazine is incredible, and I think that's why they're being demonetized. The Great American Rebellion, tyrannical COVID mandates meet with massive defiance. That's the kind of articles and whistleblower exposés they've been focusing on and writing, and I commend them for doing so. All right, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene racks up $48,000 in fines for not wearing mask on House floor. Yeah, she's been at this for quite some time. Nancy Pelosi and others are having fines if you don't wear your mask on the House floor, but she's saying, listen, I don't need a mask, and I'm not doing that, and I'm not being forced. And so it's an epic battle, but now they say she owes $48,000. They say they're going to, what do they call it, garnish her wages? They're gonna literally take it out of her wages. What is a House member? How much does she make? 150 grand, 170 grand, or something like that? And they're going to take away literally 48,000, take away a third of her salary or something? Maybe Cameron can look this up. How much does the average House member make right now? 200 grand? Is it a quarter of her salary? What does $48,000 mean? But Marjorie says, hey, I'm not going to allow this. I'm going to take the hit like the average American has to because I'm one of you and I want you to know. I don't want you to take the hit alone. I want to stand with you. So I commend Marjorie Taylor Greene for her stance. I just find it very interesting. $48,000 in fines thus far this year. It's like, wow. What the heck is going on with that? Anyway, I commend Greene. She's one of the more bold members of the House that knows how to make waves. Lauren Boebert, or whatever her name is, from Colorado, is another one. You know, there's a few. But for the most part, the House and the Senate, pretty mainstream, pretty backing of the deep state, shadow government, whatever you want to call it, swamp, etc. But there you have that. All right, you want to know who is Glenn Youngkin? Huh? Who is Glenn Youngkin? That's the Republican just elected to be Virginia's next governor. USA Today has details. Forbes, by the way, estimates Glenn Youngkin's wealth to be around $440 million. So this guy's a mega multimillionaire. When you're over $140 million, or $440 million, when you're over the $440 million, a half a billion dollar mark, you're doing pretty good, huh? So Glenn is a rich cat, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell you that right now. And that doesn't mean he's bad just because he makes a lot of money. That's not what I mean at all. So don't go off on me on that. But He's been a very long-time finance executive turned politician. Youngkin, 54 years old, was largely unheard of in politics prior to his campaign for governor. Now they're lauding his future as a model for success for the future for bureaucrats. Youngkin's ads for governor describe him as being involved in a modest upbringing in Richmond, Virginia Beach. And on the campaign trail, he described working in a diner to help his parents when his dad lost his job. So, you know, he's able to pitch himself as kind of the average Joe, kind of like you and me. Donald Trump does pretty good at that. Even Joe Biden talks about his, you know, growing up as a working class, you know, whatever you want to call it, blue-collar man kind of an idea. But this Youngkin guy is a very wealthy guy, went to very prestigious schools, and he was not even known in politics at all until he jumped into the race. He put $20 million of his own money into his own campaign. That's who Glenn Youngkin is. Now, I'm not here to down Glenn, because I don't know him personally. I can't speak to his personal character. And just because he has a lot of money, I'm not going to down him for that. But here's what I will tell you. The idea that he's the average Joe isn't true. When you have half of $1 billion in wealth, you're pretty, you know, you're not the average Joe like me and you at all. When you graduate from some of these Ivy League schools, something changes in you. I'm not saying you can't be a good guy. Okay? Tom Woods is a good guy, and he graduated from one of those prestigious schools so that he could mock them. But so I'm not saying you can't be a good guy. But here's my problem with Glenn Youngkin. We're already pitching this guy as the Holy Grail. By golly, he won. This is incredible. We're on the right track now. Once again, thanks very much. And now let's lot this guy for possible presidential candidacy. Let's use the model that he had, which was, let's be kind to Donald Trump, but keep our distance from the Donald. And this is now the new idea that we can go forward in 2022, 2024. Keep your distance from Don, but yet, hey, be a staunch moderate Republican and, you know, folks, you're being deceived again. And you say, well, Sam, how do you know you don't know this guy? I don't know him, and I don't know his character. So we're going to have to watch and see, but I'm just giving you the warning that when another super, super rich American who has no history in politics, you don't know how constitutional he is, you don't know how liberal or conservative he is, you don't know how much guts he has to stand against the opposition when him and his family will be attacked relentlessly if he does enough of the right things we need done. You don't have any history on this guy. So I'm not saying he's a bad guy. What I'm saying is for Americans to literally make that guy governor of a pretty large state, right? I mean, what's the population of the state of Virginia? This is serious business, right? $8.63 million people. So 8.5 million people in Virginia, ladies and gentlemen. Okay? And all of a sudden you make this guy, an unknown character, the governor of the state, just boom, nothing to governor. No one's vetted this guy very well. No one knows his history. No one knows really his internal compass. No one knows his moral stance. No one really has scrutinized his background. I would like to have more seasoned people. Maybe that's just me, but I would like to have much more seasoned people. So I'm not telling you that Glenn Youngkin is a bad guy. I don't know that at all. But I'm telling you that I would watch with a very, very skeptical eye as this guy just literally jumps from, quote, nobody in politics to a governor of a decent-sized, very influential state. I go, wow. And so I pray that Glenn Youngkin is the real deal, but I have my doubts. And who's he beholden to with his big money and his elite degrees? And when you go from big business to government, is it permanent or temporary in nature? What's the agenda? Why subject yourselves to the political realms at this state? You know, I don't know. Time will tell, but a longtime finance executive turned politician with no real history we can point to. See, I don't know why we would let this guy just jump to that kind of position. To me, you need to run for dog catcher first. And I don't really mean dog catcher. What I mean is you need to run for kind of the lowest office in the land, at least at first, to some degree. You need to kind of show your stripes, show your mettle, show your consistency to principle first. And I don't believe in just letting people just catapult to the top because they have a lot of money. When you put $20 million into your own campaign, you know how much money was spent on that campaign to be governor. I don't know. All I'm telling you is you start to really wonder when big money puts somebody in office, is it legitimate, is it genuine, and will they be true to their oaths of office and to the principles that we would hold dear? I'm just telling you to keep a very, very, very keen eye on this guy, and we'll see what he really does. Let's give him the chance. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. But let's also be very, very skeptical, shall we? All right, Air Force Inspector General says that the U.S. strike that killed 7 children and 3 adults in Afghanistan was an honest mistake. Tom Vandenbroek with the article. And I've got a problem with this, ladies and gentlemen. You want to know why? Because the government lied about it at first. When it was reported in the news that there was a scandal and there was unnecessary civilian death, the government denied it at first. And if it was an honest mistake, why would you go into cover-up denial mode? Why is that your standard mode of operandi, if you will? Why don't you just go, yeah, it was an honest mistake, and say that from the very beginning? Because they know, you know, and I know, government lies all the time. They lie for the sake of lying. They're, what do they call it, psychopathical liars? Okay, and so I appreciate that it might have been a genuine mistake. But my next question is this: what are we going to do to make sure it never happens in the future? And why are we over there in the first place to be able to even be allowed to make those mistakes? It's kind of like the kid that falls into the water. And they're like, man, I just couldn't help it. I fell into the water. You might not have been able to help falling in the water. I agree. But why were you even there? You weren't supposed to be there. So falling in the water is a secondary discussion. Why are we even over there with this Air Force Inspector General? Why are we there? See, that's kind of the problem that I have, ladies and gentlemen. All right, interesting final story of the hour, if you will. You remember how there was Texas gubernatorial candidate? His name is Alan West. And Alan West's wife, I guess, got in trouble. A Dallas police department officer arrested Angela West, 61, saying they were suspicious he was driving to the influence of alcohol on July 4th, and it was a big old battle, right? Well, there was a lot of fanfare about her arrest, and then it came out that she had no alcohol in her blood, no alcohol anywhere. It's just a bogus arrest, so they dropped it. The headline says now authorities cleared the wife of Texas gubernatorial candidate Alan West of a DWI charge, Fox reported. Now, this is a story that was quite a while ago that she got this dismissed. But I bring it up now because, again, there's so many stories, it's hard to get to them all. But what I want to say about this was politically motivated from the get-go, ladies and gentlemen, to make the gubernatorial candidate look horrible in Texas. And they did this to the wife, and the statement now is that we're letting literally hardened criminals go as the border leaks like a sieve, but we're going to arrest grandmas. The sad part about this is that the original release attacking Angela West was really damaging to their family, to his gubernatorial candidacy, etc. The back end headline, authorities cleared the wife of Texas gubernatorial candidate Alan West, that didn't get near the fanfare. And I don't have the exact number, ladies and gentlemen, but I will tell you, whenever they make these kind of quote errors, it has devastating consequences. And in my opinion, when there is a candidacy at stake, it's hard for me to really believe they were errors. The damage is massive compared to the retraction, right? You don't get near the coverage for the retraction as you do the original story where the damage is done. And whenever they have, what's it called, voting or candidacies at stake or whatever else, and then they say, oh, sorry, we got this wrong, I really have to question. Why? Because they've done it so many times to just take people out and destroy people's candidacies. Right? I really have to question what's going on in that story. So there you have it. I just thought I'd bring that up, but it took them a while to admit that they should clear the wife of Alan West, but yet they finally did. a day late and a dollar short, mind you. And that's the problem that I have with it all. Thanks so much for your time. 2 hours in the can, hard-hitting talk, always at your fingertips, 6 days a week on Liberty Roundtable Live. Our websites, libertyroundtable.com, that's the show site. LovingLiberty.net, that's our nationally syndicated radio network. Check them out. Donate today, would you please? We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.